Sorry, everyone. I just about lost my cue there for a second there, and there was dead silence. So, well, welcome everyone to the Sports Review here. Hope everyone's enjoying their long weekend. This show is brought to you by Green Security. Their number is 09 846 7299, or email service at greensecurity.co.nz. I hope everyone's enjoyed their long week, is enjoying their long weekend. It's been a fan. It's been some great weather. A bit colder. It is winter. Winter is about to hit us. Anyway, we're going to rip into it right now with the Super Rugby weekend. Of course, everyone knows AJ's away at the moment, but I have a great replacement. He is the voice of rugby in this country. He is a legend, that is Grant Nisbet, and he's coming on the show. We're going to talk about the final round of Round Robin and Super Rugby, and it's a very good afternoon to Grant Nisbet. Good afternoon, Grant.
G'day, Eamon. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, absolutely excellent, apart from missing my cue for the first 20 seconds. So, as you know, if you miss something, it's dead air. But no, great weekend of Super Rugby, and we might as well kick it off with the Friday night game. Now, I did say I did enjoy the Super Rugby, but this was one of the less games I enjoyed. It wasn't for a spectacle. You weren't looking at a lot, but the Blues got over the Highlanders 16 points to 9. The last game for the Highlanders for the great Aaron Smith, who's been probably their best player in their franchise history. But really, a bit of a stop-start game, Grant. Just some of your thoughts on it.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a great game at all. In fact, it was a poor game, and neither side really lifted. A lot of mistakes made, and, I mean, the Blues got the job done, and I always felt they were going to win the match. It was just a question of by how much. The Highlanders have had a wretched season for a number of reasons, mainly injuries, I think. So it is sad that Aaron Smith has finished his Super Rugby career on a fairly low note, but it was good that he got a chance to play on Eden Park for the last time, because, of course, the All Blacks won't be playing there this year, so very unlikely he'll ever play at Eden Park again. But the Blues march on. I think they'd be a little bit concerned about their form. Not the greatest, although they are coming up against a Waratahs team that's not in great nick either. So, yeah, job done for the Blues, but certainly not a memorable game at all.
In fact, I felt sorry for Tony Johnson having to commentate it. God, you know, it was a terrible game to watch. Well, there were some highlights for me. Like, I was quite impressed with Tom Robinson. He had a really good game. And Pat Tuipulotu, you know, fairly solid game. But then we move on to the next New Zealand game, which was, you know, the Hurricanes 27, the Crusaders 26. You never, ever write off the Hurricanes. Fantastic game. Really enjoyed Artie Severe at numbers on the open side flank, giving Braden Ossie an opportunity, number 8. But yeah, Cam Roygaard really got to be, when there's talk about who's going to fill that third halfback spot for the All Blacks, his name's got to come into contention, Grant.
You'd think so. You'd think so. I mean, Aaron Smith is a given, and then it's a question of two more, and you've got quite a lineup, haven't you, really? Brad Weber, Finlay Christie, Palau Fakatava, and Cam Roygaard. I think they probably are the guys in the mix. And I think what Roygaard does offer is a point of difference from the others. If you go to take Smith and, let's say, Weber, then I think you do need a point of difference, somebody who's maybe a little bigger, a little more physical, and that really is Roygaard. And I think he has overtaken Palau Fakatava as that potential. It's a role that was filled for many, many years, of course, by TJ Perenara, who looks as though he won't be able to make it to the World Cup. He may come back through provincial rugby, not sure. But he fulfilled that role for many, many years as a secondary halfback to Aaron Smith. So Roygaard's looking good, and he played well again the other night against the Crusaders. It was a memorable game because the Crusaders dominated much of the first half, and I think they led 19-5 at the break, and then the Hurricanes totally dominated the second half and played some scintillating rugby, and I think it'll be remembered too for the clash between Dane Coles and Cody Taylor, two old mates. They didn't throw any punches, they pushed and shoved, they argued, they carried on. At the end of the day, though, I think Coles probably won the battle because Taylor finished up in the sin bin and the Hurricanes won the game. So it was a great game. The last time probably we'll see the Hurricanes at their home ground this season, the last time Dane Coles will play at home, and the last opportunity for a Wellington crowd to see Sam Whitelock, who left at halftime with a little bit of an injury cloud over him. So yeah, really a memorable game.
You know, Grant, if you're Scott Robinson, would you have some concerns, even though they might be playing Fiji and Druna, but, you know, would there be some concerns going into this quarterfinal and potentially semi-finals? Because you saw there, they went out to a huge lead, but then tended to let this lead go, and now the Crusaders of old would usually tighten up that game. They've let a lot of leads slip this year, Grant.
Yeah, look, I think injuries has played a massive part. I mean, we saw last week when they lost another couple of players, Cullen Grace and David Havili, and you can add a long list of injuries. They're not quite the team they were, well, even last year, really, when they probably escaped injuries. But, you know, injuries does call on your resources. And they're just finding it hard to fill those key positions, really. And that would be of concern. Of even more concern, I guess, would be getting more injuries this week because they'll be expected to beat the Fijian Drua. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Fiji are great away from home. Haven't been quite so effective at home. And they haven't been quite so effective away from home. So the expectations on the Crusaders will be that they'll cruise through this. But, of course, you have to play 80 minutes and potential lies there to cop some more injuries. That would be the major concern, I think, for Scott Robertson.
And of course, he'd be worried about key injuries, like, say, a key injury to, say, someone like Richie Mwanga could cause him a lot of issues. A key injury to, you know, like, OK, Sam Whitelock went off. They've got a lot of good backup in their reserves with the likes of Quinton Strange there, but another front row injury as well, too. That would really, really put
concern. Yeah, they would be. And I understand John Arfoa can't continue in the campaign. I think there's some rule that says that you've got to play four games in the round robin to qualify to play in the playoffs or something like that. So if that is true, then they'll be down on props even more so.
They certainly will be, Grant. Well, of course, Moana Pacifica, it's really been a real, real tough season for them, but they finally got a win over the Waratahs in Sydney, Michael Hooper's last game for the Waratahs. Really, you know, it's been a tough year for the it's been a tough year for Moana Pacifica, and it would have, you know, for Aaron Major, a nice send-off, as we saw on TV. Really impressed with Christian Leofano's leadership during that game, Grant.
Yeah, that is, and it was nice they got a win because they probably should have got a win the week before up in Fiji, but they just fell over at the last hurdle there. So it was nice that they could finish on a high note for Aaron Major, who's done a pretty good job over two seasons, but he's out. So now they've got to find a replacement. They've also got to find some new players. Obviously, Levi Omua is going to the Crusaders. So he's arguably been their most consistent player. So it has been a tough season. I'd like to see them playing away from or playing at home a lot more. They played one game in Apia, and that was against the Reds. They didn't play all that well, but they'll be a different team if they were playing in the islands on a regular basis. We see what the Fijian Drua can do when they're away from home. And so it would be nice, even though they are based in Auckland, it would be nice if they could get up into the islands and make it a bit more difficult for some of the opposition. But, yeah, well, it's good to see them finish on a high note.
And, of course, the later game for the New Zealand franchises, the Chiefs 43, the Force 19. Clayton McMillan rested a lot of his players and gave, you know, a few of the what you would call the dirt trackers or squad members a bit of a run in this game. Really impressed with Sean Stevenson at fullback. But Pohepi went into first 5-8. Quite impressed with his game, Grant.
He played well. He did, absolutely. And it just shows how much depth the Chiefs have got. And they've got some real competition now coming into the playoffs, competition in certain areas, and that's good. That's what you need. Unlike the Crusaders, who, of course, go limping into the playoffs with a long injury toll, the Chiefs are much better off in that role. And they were good. I mean, the Force have been tough to beat over in Perth this year. In fact, I don't know whether they had been beaten up until that point.
No, they hadn't.
But
grown.
It was a decent hiding, wasn't it? A decent hiding. And the Chiefs are definitely the favourites to win this title, without any doubt.
And, of course, the Brumbies 33, the Rebels 17, Fijian Drua 43, the Reds, I think it was 17. So, you know, we've got our eight sorted out. Now, just going through the game, the weekends, obviously we've got the Friday night game is going to be the Blues versus the Waratahs. And we could both agree that would probably go for the Blues. Then the Saturday afternoon game, the Chiefs are playing the Reds. Now, last time these two teams met, surprisingly, the Reds won, Grant, but I can't really see the Chiefs dropping their guard this time.
No, they won't. No, I think you're right. The Blues will beat the Waratahs. The Waratahs are down on manpower now. They've lost a few quite key players, so I don't see how they can win at Eden Park. The Chiefs, I think they'll comfortably handle the Reds team, which has been fundamentally disappointing this year. They've only produced one half-decent effort, and that was a New Plymouth against the Chiefs. So I'm thinking the Chiefs go through there. The Crusaders will go through against the Drua. I don't think there's much doubt. The game that maybe is a bit harder to pick is the one in Canberra between the Hurricanes and the Brumbies. The Brumbies have really not been up at their very best in the last few weeks. Hurricanes have always seemed to find ways to lose, but they did manage to get up over the Crusaders. So I see that as the hardest one to pick.
You know what, Grant? I'm going to pick the Hurricanes to win that. I just believe this. They're a danger to any team in there. Once they're in there, they're sort of like the dark horses. They're an up and down side, the old Hurricanes. And you'd know, Ben, from Wellington and commentating a lot of the games, you don't know what Hurricane side comes out. But if it's a good Hurricane side, I think you definitely would have to back the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think so. They've got a few X-factor players too, blokes who can turn the game on its head pretty readily, even though they're missing the likes of Julian Savia and Selesi Rayasi. They've still got good backup, and I think they've showed against the Crusaders that they can perform when they really have to on the big stage. And, I'm naturally backing them because, as you say, I'm from Wellington, but I just don't think the Brumbies have been quite on song over the last month or so.
You're dead right there, Grant. First of all, Grant, thank you for coming in off the bench for AJ Whitten today. And hopefully we get to have a few more of those talks during the year. And I want to wish you a good rest of the week and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, Grant.
Good on you, Eamon. Cheers, mate.
Thanks a lot. That was Grant Nisbet, the voice of rugby in this country. Absolute pure gentleman. Now I'm just going to play a bit of music. And next up, I've got Frank Endicott.
Thank you. chanting, drinking from the fountain. They're on the mountain, chanting, drinking from the fountain. Come on, come on.
Up in the mountain, I'm chilling with my sister. Two head, one pillow, and we're looking out the window. A lonely seagull and the holy imam calling. I could get high on Istanbul twilight. Herb is illegal, so we not take no chance. Now I go end up in a Babylon pants. The tales are world famous, of jails most notorious. I think I'll try on Istanbul twilight. I got the seagull and the imam and the sistren. Plus the sight of the daylight departing. I get a high from Istanbul twilight. I get a high from Istanbul twilight.
Dip on the mountain, chanting, drinking from the fountain. Aye. Dip on the mountain, chanting, drinking from the fountain. All right.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, I'm having some real issues getting hold of Frank Endicott. It's pretty unusual for Frank not to answer the phone. So, unfortunately, I can either keep trying for another couple of minutes, but because the show runs on a schedule, I'll just have to run through the weekend. I was really looking forward to our chat, but we might as well go over the NRL results for the weekend. And I really, and the, of course, the big result at One New Zealand Stadium was the Warriors 30, the Dolphins 8, and of course, magical game by Sean Johnson. You know, fantastic. His goal kicking, the way he's running, he really has seen a real boost of confidence. But really, probably the unsung hero of that game would have been Murata Nakore. He has been a fantastic buy. They got him from the Parramatta Eels. He's been fantastic. He's been a great buy for them. Of course, Dallin really getting back to form. The Friday game was a cracker of a game. The Raiders 20, the Tigers 19. It almost went to golden point. Really impressed with Jai Field, the way he had a great game. And, of course, Jordan Rapana, a real fantastic game. But really, Luke Brooks was under a lot of pressure during the year with the West Tigers. And basically, I felt he had a super game. The Rabbitohs 46, the Titans 28. Alex Johnson, a hat-trick. And Cody Walker, doing what Cody Walker does, having a fantastic game. Broncos 20, the Sharks 12. Well, I tell you what, if anyone see Katoti Staggs, God, he was fantastic. The way he was hitting players, the way he was, you know, the way he, the runs he was making, he looked like a guy on fire. And of course, Jordan Ricci, what a fantastic run he made earlier to set up the first try. But really, one of the more, Jordan Ricci, really one of the most underrated New Zealand players there. The Roosters 25, the Bulldogs 24, a much needed win for the Roosters because they were definitely under pressure. Whether we like it or not, you know, they were definitely under pressure. So, unfortunately for the Bulldogs, you know, it looked like they were going to take it out. And with Tevita Pangai Jr. having one of his games and Reece Marnie being absolutely fantastic. Warrior Hargreaves and Joseph Suaali, wow, he's playing fantastic. So the Roosters got a 25-24 win, a much-needed win for the Roosters. Now, I didn't see this coming. I was watching this game yesterday. The Cowboys 45, the Storm 20. The combination of Chad Townsend and Tom Dreeden were fantastic. Really great to see Nanai. Nanai had a fantastic game. As did Robinson for the Cowboys. You know, you never count the Storm out, but this shows you how good this competition is. And, of course, the Panthers 26, the Dragons 18. Well, for the Panthers, you know, like, it has been there'll be a bit concerned, as would Brad Fittler for New South Wales, because Nathan Cleary went off at half time. But, you know, the Panthers proved what a good team they were. Isaiah Yeo, some of his, the handoff he gave to Mossy Leota to score that try was absolutely fantastic. Of course, you know, and I was really impressed with Stephen Crichton. And Jerome Luai was fantastic as well too. Of course, some of the other stuff that was quite impressed was Jaden Sima. He's been a guy that I believe has probably been the Dragons' best player this year. Now, the Dragons, they might be on the bottom of the table, but it shows how close this competition is. Now, when you look at it, like for the Warriors next week, they've got to head to Canberra. Now, unfortunately, they're probably running into a Canberra side that's on fire at the moment, you know, with the likes of Jack White and Papa Leahy, Joseph Tapane and, you know, John Bateman, these players that are there. But between me and you, this could be quite a good... this could be quite a good game, and it could be very, very crucial for the Warriors. Should the Warriors win this, then I believe that, you know, it makes their ride into the top eight a lot easier. And believe me, you know, when you look at that, when you look at the table there at the moment, it's the Panthers on 20, the Broncos on 20, the Rabbitohs on 18, the Sharks on 18. They're your top four. Fifth place is the Melbourne Storm. The Canberra Raiders are sixth. The New Zealand Warriors are seventh with 16 points. The Dolphins are on 16 points. The Roosters are still there on 16. You have a look like the Sea Eagles and Knights, possibly an opportunity. Do not write off the Eels on 14 points. This is how close this competition is. And, you know, to be quite frank with you, after watching some of the Super Rugby over the last few weeks, it actually has been great to watch. I believe it's a brand that's made for TV, and, you know, and especially with the Warriors, a lot of people are watching NRL, especially with the Warriors forms. It's given me a lot of heart going into this. So, yeah. Anyway, that was enough of my dribble. We're gonna try Noel Barkley, get him on a bit earlier, and then we'll move on to Dale Budge. Okay, so we'll just play a bit of music.
Help each other through thick and thin.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. God, we've had some issues with phones today, whatever. Just give us... So I'll just quietly pick up my pen and welcome in former All-White Noel Barkley. What a morning I'm having, Noel.
Yeah, man, I think probably people being a holiday, they'd probably go a bit mixed up on the days, but no, alive and kicking here in Waiheke Island.
Yeah, and obviously you moved into your new place. Looks like a great wee place there, Noel.
Yeah, and had a bit of a sort of... catch up with the family yesterday, and which was a nice day. The weather was good, so yeah, it was getting over the disappointment of the early morning game, of course.
Well, it started quickly. Now 14. Well, how would you say, Gundahein? You know, it looks like the two goals he scored, and I'm going to be straight to the point. They look like miskicks now.
The second one was most definitely a miss kick. I think that was probably off his shin more than his foot. I think the first one, if you hit the ball that early, and he did hit it early and he hit it well, I a lot of people blame De Gea for that. I mean, I just don't see it myself. He hit it so sweet. I mean, you can have a bit of a discussion around, you know, people picking up runners and winning the header and knockdowns and all that sort of stuff. But it was just it was the worst possible start. The only way that United were going to win that game was to keep them out, to frustrate them, let it drag on, let them get frustrated. And it just couldn't have been any worse. An absolute peach. And then really, you know, it was a bit manana from us after that. I just thought we puffed and puffed and really, you know, apart from a a somewhat disputed penalty. We really, really, really threatened apart from just at the end. So, like, best team won. They weren't great. I don't think they were at the top of the game, but they were good enough to beat a Man United team without some of its best players and a few that didn't perform on the day.
I have to say, you know, when I looked at that game, because I watched the game live, and I have to say that, yeah, at the moment they're a class above everyone else. And that's not only within England and possibly in Europe as well too. They just have so much depth in their squad. You know, at no time, while there was probably a chance in with 10 minutes to go for Manchester United, really, I couldn't, when I looked at that game, they barely threatened at all, did Manchester United, Noel?
Yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, they sacrificed creativity by putting Fred in, and he really, you know, his games are, you know, good or disastrous. And unfortunately, in a cup final, he was disastrous.
Oh, yes.
And he was lost out there. And Sancho again. I mean, I was surprised he got picked ahead of Garnacho. His form has been poor. He never threatened. He gave the ball away. So yeah, it was, things were against us there in terms of personnel. Obviously, losing Martial and Martinez those sort of players, it really hurts. But Gundogan has been in form in the last few weeks, even though City have been a bit off form in the lead-in. He's been playing out of his skin. He's out of contract, and all the word is that he's off to Barcelona. But if they win the treble, I would imagine they'd be wanting to try and hang on to him. But they were too good for us, and obviously, you know, they've got the game of their lives next week against Milan and Inter Milan, and I think they'll give them a better game than what we did. I think they're tactically they're better. They've got more front echo. Martinez and Lukaku 2 from 3, so that'll be a much tougher game than it was against the red side of Manchester.
It certainly will, but I've still got a feeling that, you know, I just think that they will win that. And for Guardiola, you know, that's the trophy since he's been at Manchester City, the trophy that's really eluded him, and I know that desperately he wants to win that trophy for that club. So, you know, it's, you know, they've spent all that money, it's, you know, for the owners, they want to see a Champions League, so yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and I've sort of I've come around a little bit, you know. At the end of the day, if you look at, you know, they've spent loads of money, but Man United have spent loads of money as well. Unfortunately, they haven't spent it particularly well over the years. So, you know, the players at City have picked up in that sort of 30, 40, 50 million range. You know, we've picked up players at the same values, but just not as good. So their whole sort of recruitment regime, and obviously it's down to Pep, they're the best team in the world, and they more than likely will win the treble. And at the end of the day, you know, that's not the, you know, I'm not a bitter Man United red supporter. I'd like Milan to win, but if City win, good on them, and they certainly deserve all the plaudits.
You know what, I have to agree with you there, Noel, because, you know, they are the leaders at the moment, and they're the team that everyone has to catch up to. You know, we talk about spending money. Look how much money Chelsea spent for a 12th to 13th place finish. Unbelievable.
And they're a shambles, right? So, you know, it's not just about money, thank goodness. But financial fair play still has a job to do on them, and there needs to be some resolutions about what, you know, if you break the rules, what's the consequences? I mean, we're all, that's life at the minute, isn't it? You know, and so we will see what happens there. But right now, they deserve everything they get.
Of course, then we move on to the A-League final on Saturday night. Wow. Central Coast Mariners 6, Melbourne City 1. Jason Cummings, a hat-trick, medals for Storm Roo and James McGarry. What a fantastic way for Jason Cummings, who looks like he's off to India on a million dollar contract. What a game. You know, what a fantastic victory it was for Central Coast Mariner.
Yeah, and not only was I hoping that would turn out that way, I actually predicted that in the main, because Central Coast just plays such an energetic, pressing sort of game, which actually makes it almost impossible to play through. And Yeah, look, I thought they were outstanding. It's great for Storm Roo and Young McGarry and two Kiwi fullbacks who've sort of been discarded by other clubs. And yet this coach, this young coach, has sort of brought out the best in them. Cummings was great. I mean, he scored three, could have scored four, maybe five, and missed some chances. And but a great game. I watched that game live, and it was one of those ones that you just, it was late on, but it actually was easy to stay awake because it was just full on. And yeah, and I think it was also quite good for the A-League to see that after all the controversy about Sydney buying the game, there's 26,000 people turned up, and that sort of shut a few people up from Melbourne. So, yeah, a great game, and just goes to show you whoever wins the minor premiership there doesn't necessarily, you know, see it through.
You did right there, Noah, and I have to say it's great for them two young Kiwi boys, and of course the young fella from Vanuatu getting an A-League medal. We can't forget about him. He'd be their biggest hero in Vanuatu at the moment. So, but for Storm Roo and James McGarry, they would have to be looking at being as part of that all white squad to play Sweden. And a few
weeks,
well,
I know for a fact that McGarry has missed out through the Telegraph, which is a disaster, really.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, he's missed out. He's not in that squad. And, we can't be very happy about that. But anyway, hopefully.
To be honest with you, you'd think he'd be a backup to Kadachi. Oh. You sometimes wonder, but this is New Zealand football. Anyway, the under 20s were eliminated in the last 16 against the USA 4-0. USA side is a very, very good side, and they've always been very good at underage football, but really some great young players coming through. Really impressed with Conchi, really impressed with Sermon. Jay Herdman, if that does not win the goal of the tournament, his goal against Uzbekistan, you know, that would nothing would surprise me there. But, you know, there is some potential coming through, and there may be some players that will possibly step up to that senior level. But all in all, what was your observations of that campaign?
Oh, look, I mean, I'm hearing people disappointed about it, but I mean, I think getting out of the group, drawing with the Asian champions, and look, they battle hard against the US. The other thing is that US team's got players who are playing in the MLS, you know, first teams every week. So completely different level in terms of professional football. So I think they did great. That tournament's actually thrown up quite a lot of surprises. And if you look at Israel qualifying and Korea qualifying for the semi-finals, and you know the big guns, England, Brazil, Argentina, all gone. So the shift in talent is definitely around the smaller nations, and it's quite incredible to see a country like Israel qualifying for the semi-finals. Italy obviously looked like they might be the favourites, but yeah, I think it was a good campaign for New Zealand, and you know, we're 5 million people and in a rugby country, and we go there and we get through to the last 16, and that's probably as good as we can get at the minute, unless more of these players can go overseas. And it's pretty clear that Darren Beasley said, well, these guys got to play, they got to be playing in Europe, not in the National League in New Zealand if they really want to progress. And it's exciting future, especially some of those boys you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, Jay Herdman. I'll tell you what, I've already heard a rumour that he's actually not that... He is very, very close to making his Major League Soccer debut for Vancouver Whitecaps. They said he's not that far off. And people have been very critical of the MLS, but I think it's actually quite a good league, no?
Yeah, look, you know, there's a lot of good players who go there and struggle. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know, obviously if Inter Miami can sign Messi on this massive contract, which is, you know, it seems like it's having a discussion, it'll definitely, the eyes of the world will all of a sudden be on the MLS again. You know, I mean, it was different when Rooney went, because he had different legacies to Messi and Ibrahimovic. But if he goes there, and it'll be game on. I think it's a good league. I enjoy watching MLS, and you do get a lot of players at the end of their career, but you also get lots of good American players, and as you can see now, the way they're progressing is because there's a ending up in European and obviously Premiership, Bundesliga, those sort of tournaments. So they're getting better, and that's how they will get better.
Okay, we might as well move on to some pressing matters in New Zealand football. And, you know, I didn't really want to bring this up, but we'll bring this up right now. We're heading into this international break, and we're no longer closer to finding a men's international coach. I don't know if you've heard any whispers at all, but it seems as though we'll be talking in about 6 months' time, wondering who the next All Whites coach is going to be. No, I just can't believe how long this is taking.
Yeah, I have probably an unpopular point of view on this one. I don't see what the rush is. We don't have any meaningful games to 2025. And yes, we got windows and all that sort of stuff, but our squad they're still full of young players, 21 through to 25. It's the bulk of the squads in that they're all still developing at clubs. A lot of them aren't playing first team football. So what can a new coach do? They're going to bring in a whole bunch of assistants, a whole bunch of costs, and strictly speaking, New Zealand football can't afford that. So right now, I don't have a problem with having an interim coach and having games. And those games are good. The players get together. And I think, honestly, I don't see it as a big, important thing in 2023. I may be in the minority. I think in early 24, they can focus on getting the right person. Then it's closer to actually meaningful games. And then see how we go. I appreciate that people want it done, but you just have to take. We're a long way from the World Cup and even the qualifiers, so yeah, I'd sit tight.
Yeah, okay. I might have a different opinion, but I think the big thing is that if they do go for a coach in early 2024, you probably would have to keep Darren Baisley ahead of possibly the Ollie Whites on their qualification for the World Cup the Olympics in Paris. Yeah, God, I don't know what's gone wrong with me. It must be this coffee. I've had too many coffees. No.
Dan knows he knows that he's been on, he's been with this group for the journey, Danny's sort of 3-4 year journey. So he knows the players, he's got the data, he's got the relationship because he's a nice guy and they're all going on with him anyway. So he's going to be hanging around for the Olympic campaign, there's no doubt, and probably beyond that, because you just can't have somebody come in. We've seen how that worked with Hudson. He just came in and he had his own ideas and he brought his own henchmen, and he had this weird sort of mentality in the squad where everybody called him Gaffer. I mean, honestly, it's just so 1960s, and we're better than that. And these kids are young pros playing in some of the top leagues in the world. So yeah, we just need to be a little bit progressive and a bit careful about who we select and so that it actually fits the New Zealand psyche, because we're a bit unique. Rugby can't be, and kids are trying to develop. And multiracial. And so yeah, I just think take it slowly and make sure you get the right person. We can't get this. Can't afford to get it wrong again.
Well, you definitely can't, because at the end of the day, football is grown in this country. And yeah, you're right. We are still a rugby country. Rugby will always dominate over football when it comes to headlines, media, TV, whatever. But football is beginning to really grow in this country, along with basketball. I think they're the two biggest grown sports at the moment.
Yeah, really good. Just wanting to see Barry Pickering pick up New Zealand honours, and also Andrea Nelson, who's heavily involved in, she's the chair of Northern Regional Football, and Rakesh Nidu, who's been on the Football Foundation. So they'd love this. Football is starting to get recognised for some of those things, and we've missed out for a long time, and it's good to see that put right.
Yeah, no, I did see Barry Pickering's was given an award, and that's fantastic that the people who work at the grassroots level of sport are finally getting recognised. Unfortunately, on this day, I could not give myself any type of honour on this day, and I couldn't give you an honour because I'm not in with that one, Noel.
Yeah. We'll wait for next year.
I think we'll be waiting a long time before I get any honours. Really? Anyway, you have a good rest of the day, and thank you so much for coming on. Cheers, Noel.
Cheers,
mate.
Cheers.
That was Noel Barkley, great bloke, absolutely fantastic bloke. Anyway, must put on a bit of music, and we'll have a quick chat to Dale Budge.
I want to use her for my friend. Yes, sir. You know I'm on, crawl up to your window, babe. Crawl up to your door. You got anything I want, babe, more. Crawl up on your floor, because I'm a crawling king snake. In our room, and yeah. Don't hang around my little girl. Use her for my friend. Thank you.
Mr. John Lee Hooker, ladies and gentlemen.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Roof. God, it's been a one hell of a day. Phones, you know, but we've finally got hold of him. He is Dale Budge. Dale Budge is our last guest on the show. He runs the County's Manukau Sports Hub, which is a fantastic website and does a lot of podcasts. Also involved with the Auckland Tuatara's basketball team. Was also involved with what was the Auckland Tuatara's baseball team as well too. Welcome to the show, Dale, and how are you today?
Yeah, good, mate. Sorry, hopefully the reception's a bit better here. So,
no problem at all, mate. You know what it's like on when you're doing live radio, Dale? It's you can either have some hits and miss, and people go missing, and you're like, oh, God, what do I do here? So I've had to talk constantly for about 3 or 4 minutes, which, you know, I might even get, with it being King's birthday, I might even get some sort of QCM for, you know, helping people with their insomnia. So, yeah, so... So on that note, we might as well rip into it. Hey, Auckland Tuatara's basketball. Now, I have to say that, you know, looks like you're tied up top in the National Sales National Basketball League with the Canterbury Rams, who, you know, if anyone saw goes to stuff and saw Max Darling's dunk on the other day, wow, what a dunk it was. But really, you guys are having a wonderful season. Of course, you got the Franklin Bulls, and which will be sort of like a super city rivalry, and of course, you know, you looks like you guys are having a really great season. Rob Lowe, obviously Jared Weeks as well. You know, you've got a very, very good team. Tell us some of the highlights has been for the Tuatara this year.
Oh, I think just the way that the guys have sort of moulded together. Yeah, Aaron Young, the coach of the side, sort of been the architect of what this roster is, and you know, when we sat down and started planning what it was going to look like. We're both very keen on players that were going to be good people that represent our brand, represent our fans first. And so we obviously want to win. We're competitive, but we want to do it the right way. We want to do it our way. And, yeah, we're delighted with the roster that we put together. It's been a bit of a work in progress. You know, there's been sort of a hole there waiting to be filled all season, and that'll happen next week, when Joe Lawson the third comes in. He'll be our only sort of American import for the season. He'll join us on Tuesday and build up and train and then ahead of the game against the Bulls, like you say, on Sunday, which is a big game. But yeah, no, I'm really, really proud of the group that we've got together. They're playing some really basketball at the moment. They're unselfish, I think, has been a hallmark of Aaron's teams in the past, and you can see that again coming to the fore here. Guys are happy to make that extra pass, create the space, trust the guy next to them will you know, make an open basket and you know, not worry about individual stats and you know, probably not dominating the stats leaderboards as much as we are on the standings, but the standings that sort of count at the end of the year, everyone's going to remember who wins the league, not the individuals that racked up some figures in within it. So that's the goal, and you know, we made a pretty promising start, but you know, only as we found out last year, it's about getting it right when it counts at the end of the season. It's going to determine whether it was a successful year or not.
Yeah, of course, when you have a look at it, because some of your rivals been across here, your southern rivals, the Franklin Bulls, and of course, Dan Futu, who's the brother of Isaac Futu, who's a tall black. Then you'd also look at the Canterbury Rams, who look like they've got a very good side. Of course, you never discount out the Wellington Saints. They've been there for years, and, you know, when it comes finals times, I know that Jordan Mills, with the side he puts together, they're usually there or thereabouts.
Oh, 100%. You know, in fact, to be fair, this league is so much tighter than last year's. You know, there were a handful of sides that probably were, I wouldn't say making up the numbers, but weren't quite at the same level as the leading sides last year. I mean, you know, we've just had back-to-back games against the Manawatu Jets, who are second last on the ladder as it stands. I mean, they've tested as much as any team in the league this year, and you know, they're a very good side. And you know, unfortunately, when two good teams come up against each other, only one can win, and they've been on the wrong side of a couple of close losses. And you know, but for a basket here or there, or a referee decision here or there, you know, they might have been in the middle of that logjam that is the top six fighting for a playoff spot. But there's no real easy games this year. That's going to be the thing. Even you know, when you get in touch distance, you know, you can't rely on what you know. My season's gone by. I said it was an easy game. I'm going to get any of those. And you're right. You know, there's teams that can win. I mean, Rams and the Nuggets I guess along with ourselves, have been the most consistent teams through the couple of months. I really think the Franklin Bulls are doing. I think they're really good. When Tyrell Harrison comes in the mix there, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And, yeah, we certainly won't be taking them right now. It's a huge, huge game next Sunday. The two teams know each other. I mean, they're all really, really good, their front office. And, we were looking at entering the league. They made their budgets available to us so that we weren't coming in with our eyes closed. Exactly. Very supportive. And, yeah, they've been great. Looking forward to it.
And, of course, that's at Event Finder Stadium. Anyone who does wants to know that is the North Shore, that's the North Shore Event Centre. So, you know, I think I might even try and make my way over the bridge and get my backside off my bar stool. But, you know, one thing about this National Basketball League, it's really has beginning to gain a bit of confidence. Of course, ESPN do show, have coverage of the league. So it is getting a stand. And while it's not the Australian National Basketball League, it's not that far off. And a lot of players from the Australian National Basketball League come over to New Zealand, or people see it as that stepping stone?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, both of those two sides you talk about are littered with them. You know, there's four in our starting lineup. You know, the Bulls have got a number of players too that played for the Breakers. You know, you talked about Dan Watson before, he was with us last year, he's with the Bulls this year. He's with the Breakers in the Aussie NBL. You know, Tyrell Harrison's been with the Bullets, Isaac Davidson with the Breakers. So, yeah, they're littered with AMBL stars as well. The league is getting better and better every year. Even in the short, brief foray that we've had into it over the last couple of years, you can see that the trajectory is even better than we were expecting when we entered. You know, I think in the years to come, this is going to be our premier domestic sporting competition. I don't say that lightly. I genuinely think within 10 years, this is going to be a sporting competition that captures the imagination of all New Zealanders.
Yeah, well, that goes with the phrase, you know, like basketball in this country is making huge steps at the moment, Dale. You know, where we used to always see, you know, rugby posts, we're seeing more basketball posts as well too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the growth of the sport is huge. And in a lot of areas, it's already the biggest sport by some metrics, you know, the TAB betting and things like that. The interest of the NBA, you know, it appeals to a younger generation that has access to, you know, things in real time. They're watching games now, you know, the NBA pass. It's, you know, the growth of the sport is massive. And, you know, I think in 10 years' time, we're going to see quite a different sporting landscape to what we've come to know over, you know, over most of our lifetime.
Yep, absolutely would agree with you. Pity we, you know, with the day we've had, definitely want to catch up with you again eventually in the next 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. So I'll keep you on speed, Dale. Dale, really enjoyed that chat. I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday. Relax with your family, and I'm sure we're going to catch up again, Dale.
Appreciate the support, mate. All the best, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dale Budge, and involved with the Auckland Tuatara's baseball team. Fantastic bloke, a real good bloke, does a lot for sports, not only for the Tuatara's, but also for sports in the county's Manukau area. Well, I'm going to close it off. It's been a bit of an indifferent morning, but I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their public holiday, and I will see you next Monday. Major announcement coming soon up on the show. Thank you, goodbye, and have a great rest of the day.